So I'm glad I'm here. It's great to have. He wanted me to be down there. I think you would have preferred me. I do have a tendency to spit when I speak, so believe me, it's best that I'm here. Do you have a Bible? If you do, open yours to Ephesians chapter 5, the fifth chapter in the book of Ephesians. This morning is our fourth lesson on the subject, resolutions that are righteous. Resolutions that are righteous. And may I be so bold this morning as to say that without this morning's lesson, very few, if any of us, will resolve to do right. I guess that's my way of saying, listen up. This is an important one. This is probably one of the most critical lessons we will have. Now, we know two things already about a righteous resolution. Number one, I don't know why I got that. That'll work. Judges 5 and 15. There were great resolves of the heart. Resolutions begin on the inside. Resolutions begin in the thoughts of our hearts. But that's only where they begin. That is not where they end. Now, these resolutions that begin in our hearts are intended to go to the outside. First Chronicles 28:7, I will establish his kingdom forever if he resolutely performs my commandments and my ordinances. Resolutions that begin in our hearts end in performance. Now, they begin in our hearts, but that's only where they begin. They're intended to go to the outside in obedience. Do you know what I have discovered is the number one enemy of all righteous resolutions? Now look, there are many enemies. By the way, has anyone here ever made a resolution and it didn't prevail? I think what we're going to learn this morning is applicable not only in the spiritual but in the secular. Many, many enemies for righteous resolutions, but for the sake of time, we're only going to look at time. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Now, the words be careful are an imperative command. You know what that means, right? That makes it a righteous resolution. If he will resolutely perform my word, my commands, my ordinances, 1 Chronicles 28, that's the end game. That's the goal. Where does it begin? It begins in my heart. I resolve in my heart. What do we resolve in our heart? To obey God. Do you know what that's going to require? Time. Now, the number one enemy of all righteous resolutions is time. Have you ever made a resolution but did not make the time? The necessary time to resolve to do right? I wish I could tell you, but there are no shortcuts in the Christian life. It takes time. I will resolve to eat healthy, but then I go and I eat fast food. And here's why. It takes time to make healthy food. It's so easy to just drive through the drive-through. It takes time to read a cookbook and learn how to cook salmon. Or any of the other things that would fall in the category of healthy eating. notice on the screen, because the days are evil. What does making the most of my time have to do with evil? Well, there's two things I'd like to bring to your attention. If we don't make the time to resolve to do right, you know what might just happen, right? We might do wrong. There's no escaping the need to make the most of your time. Did you know wasting your time is evil? Matthew 24 and 48, but if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long what? Do we live this way? You say, what way? Well, we're hearing lessons on righteous resolutions. And we live as though we have a long time. We live as though we have a long time to get it right. Plenty of time. You ever put off tomorrow what you should be doing today? What would God want us to know about our time? Psalm 39, 4 and 5, Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the extent of my days? Let me know how transient I am. Behold, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my lifetime is nothing in your sight. Surely every man is best is a mere breath. Selah. You know what David is teaching us there? We don't have a long time, so don't waste time. A God through David wants us to know how transient we are. What does God want to teach us about time? What should we remind ourselves about ourselves with respect to time? James 4, 13 and 14, come now you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. From James chapter 1 right on through to James chapter 4, where those two verses were written, James has been pointing out sin to God's people. Here's what he says in the same chapter those two verses are written. James 4 and 17, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is... Oh, come on, I know you know that. It's what? It's sin. Anybody want to argue with me that these three previous righteous resolution lessons are right? Are they all right? Is making the most of your time right? It's a command. What if you don't make the most of your time? That's sin. Early on in the book of James, he spoke about faith without works is dead. Do we know that? Faith without works is dead. Let me just say something about that. Real faith really works. Real faith really works. We're not saved by works, but we are saved for good works. What does James want them to know from those two verses on the screen? All of us are living on borrowed time. And the question after three chapters is this: how's your faith working? Are you making the most of your time by putting your faith to work? How many know to put your faith to work takes time? Anyone can say, I have faith. But it takes time to get to work. Now look at the screens. James pictures a businessman. But look, it might as well be a housewife, a retired person, a pastor, a teacher, or whoever or whatever you do for a living. And he wants us to think about time. Did you notice that? He's talking about today or tomorrow. Would you agree that's about time? He wants us to think about a place, so he says such and such a city. He wants us to think about the duration of time. You're going to go spend a year there. He wants us to think about the activity when you arrive. You're going to do some buying, you're going to do some selling. And then he wants us to think about capitalism. You're going to make a profit. What's the point? Well, the point is we spend a considerable amount of our time on who? Self. And when faith is working, it's not about me. When faith is working, it's about you. Look at the screens. Do you see those words, I will? Today or tomorrow, we will. Somebody changed it on me. They shouldn't have. I will. I will. Did you know we're never more like Satan than when we say, I will? Pay attention to what the devil said to God in Isaiah. Isaiah 14, 13 through 14, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. We are never more like God than when we say, I will. We're never more like Jesus than when we say, your will. Matthew 26 and 39, let this cup pass for me, yet not as I will, but as you will. By the way, this is where James is taking them in James chapter 4. In James chapter 4 and 15, it says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. By the way, that's where Paul wants to take us in Ephesians 5, where we open our Bibles up to begin this time. In Ephesians 5, 16 and 17, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? What is the will of the Lord for my time? I want to answer that question, but I want to do so by answering it for two different groups of people. I promise you, you're in one of these two groups this morning. You're in one of these two groups. There's not a third group. There's not a fourth group. You're in one of these two groups. What is God's will for my time? 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Did you know it's God's will that you be saved? Did you know this is about time? 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. When is the time to get saved? Today. My fear for many, however, is they say what Felix said. Listen to what Felix said. Acts 24, 24 and 25, but some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. You know what happens when you speak to someone about faith in Christ, right? You want to see them get saved. But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon. Felix had no time. He had no time to get saved. Now, Paul was discussing with Felix righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. You know, those three topics in an evangelistic conversation are all about why we need to get saved. Let's begin with righteousness. Why would we discuss righteousness with someone? Why would it be imperative that somebody hears in the moment, in the minute, at that precise time for salvation? Why do they need to hear about righteousness? Romans 7 and 12, so then the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Felix, I want you to know the law of God is righteous. But we ought to talk about the law of God. And here's why. James, in the second chapter, the 10th verse, says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point has become guilty of all. That's why you need to talk to people about the law, the righteousness in the law, because the law demands perfection. Jesus demanded perfection. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, which brings us to the second thing he discussed with Felix, self-control. You see, Felix was out of control. Now, his wife is mentioned there, Drusilla, but you know, this is his third wife. He literally used his power and authority to steal her from her husband and then to marry her. And then he talked to him about the judgment to come. You know what the judgment to come is for? Those that violate the law of God. So you got to get people unsaved before you can get them saved. You got to raise the bar as high as God raises it. God raises the bar to perfection, you know. If you keep the whole law and stumble in one point, you're guilty of all. What did Felix say? When I find the time. That's one of my greatest fears every time I share the gospel with someone and they don't believe and repent on the day I share it. Do you remember in the book of Acts, Paul is at the Areopagus? Three responses. Some believed. Some made fun of him. Others said, can we talk to you tomorrow about this? You know what Paul did? He immediately went to the next town. Why didn't Paul stick around for tomorrow? I'll tell you why. Today is the day of salvation. Today is. Nothing's going to change tomorrow, you know. Paul's gospel is not different on Monday than it is on Sunday. It's the same gospel every day. How many hear the gospel and then don't make the most of their time? You know what God would like to say to those folk? Genesis 6 and 3, then the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. God wants people who waste time to know they're running out of time. That's all about time is running out. We ought to make the righteous resolution when we talk to lost sinners. How about this? Let's talk about time with them. Let's talk about making the most of the time, maximizing the time. Time is running out. Today is the day of salvation. Did I mention there were two groups of people I wanted to talk to this morning? Now, the first group, I think you know who that group is. They're the unsaved. I want them to be saved. I want them to put their faith in Jesus Christ. I want them to understand they violated the law of God. They broke the law of God. The standard is high. It's perfection. But I know somebody who can save them from their imperfections if they would simply put their faith in Jesus Christ. Felix, will you put your faith in Jesus Christ when I find the time? That ought not be the response. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. You remember what they said? What must we do to be saved? You know what they got? Today's the time. Now's the time to get saved. Repent. Believe the gospel. But there's a second group. It's probably us. As I look out over this room, I see faces I've known for a long time. And I know you're saved. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Let's talk about that word for making. Some of your Bibles use the word redeeming. How many have a Bible with the word redeeming? Redeeming the time. Exagorazo. Exagorazo. Notice how the word is used in Galatians 3 and 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. How many times did Jesus need to die on the cross to save us from all our past sins? Once. With one act on the cross, all past acts of sins were redeemed. Now, I don't want you to miss that because Paul's using that word. You say, well, what is Paul telling me? One act. One righteous resolution. One act of making the most of my time is going to make up for all lost past time. What did it cost Jesus to redeem us? His life. What will it cost you and I to make up for all lost time? Well, the answer is in the command. Time. Time in the present will make up for all lost time in the past if we make a righteous resolution. I began to think about our first three righteous resolution lessons and the subject of making the most of our time, redeeming the time. Take the first righteous resolution. And we had very low attendance that Sunday. And that Sunday was all about being here every Sunday morning at 10:30. What a Sunday to preach that when about 75% of you weren't here. How many know it takes time to be here every Sunday morning at 10:30? Make the most of your time. What are you doing elsewhere that is making the most of whatever it is that you're doing that's more than being here? What are you doing? Remember when I used to quote one of my professors who used to say this to us? What are you living for that Christ did not die for? What are you living for that Christ did not die for? How about the second righteous resolution lesson? Serving Him without fear. Serving Him without fear. And we learn love casts out fear. Now get this, by serving needs with deeds. How many have discovered if you're going to serve the Lord, it takes time? It takes time. Our third righteous resolution last week, Semper Fi. Always faithful, never giving up. Always faithfully preaching mercy. Remember that? How many know that takes time? See, you can't separate the first three lessons from this morning's lesson. And listen, I have no idea how many more righteous resolution lessons we're going to have. I'm working on about three more as we speak. So I know we got at least three more weeks on this. Maybe more. But I want you to know this morning's lesson will be applicable to all of them. Every one of them is going to take time. Did you know if we make this one resolution on the subject of time, it'll make you righteous? Genesis 6 and 9, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. How about your time? Could that be said of your time? Look at Psalm 106, 106 and 3. How blessed are those who keep justice, who practice righteousness at all times. See, we can't separate righteousness from time. It's a righteous resolution. What is a righteous resolution? What are you doing with your time? Look at Psalm 119. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. By the way, Bob, just for the record, next week, you know how Matt began with a prayer for worship? Next Sunday, Rafal is going to begin with a prayer for praise. And, you know, we didn't coordinate it. It just so happened. But two of the three songs we sang was about what? Worship. Worship. I love when things work out without any coordination. But next week, let's have a little coordination. He's going to pray on praise, and maybe you can get me another couple of good songs on praise. Jesus redeemed us from all past sin by paying for it. Jesus redeemed us from all past sin by paying for it. That's how we were redeemed. He paid for our sins. He paid for our sins with His blood. Now, you know what that means? That means you and I are going to need to make some payments. Because that's what the word's all about. Redeeming has to do with paying a price. You know what we're going to have to do, right? We're going to have to pay a price with the clock. Pay a price. Pay a price to be in God's Word every day with the aim of understanding. Do you know what it's going to take to be in God's Word every day? Time. Time. How about this one? Pay the price to have time with the Lord every day in prayer. You know what's going to take to pray every day? Time. How many would agree with me that the Christian life ought to include the Word and prayer? Once a month, right? No, every day. Every day it's going to require time. Make the most of your time. On Wednesday night, we learned Paul was always praying and praying without ceasing. Remember that, Mrs. Hovey? Always praying, praying. You know what it's going to take to have it said of us? That Brian Camp, he's always praying. That's going to take time. It takes time to be known as someone who's, they're always praying. How about pay the price to pray for others every day? Others. That's going to take time. I have a challenge for 2018. It's a prayer challenge. I'm going to have to really rely on the Spirit of God to get this right. Because there's very little coordination in what I'm going to challenge you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Before you leave this place, I want you to pick somebody out in this place. That's the person you're going to pray for this year. That's the person you're going to pray for this year. You say, well, what sort of thing should I pray for? Well, how about this? That they be here every Sunday morning at 10:30. Righteous resolution number one. That they serve others without fear by loving them. Because what does love do? And what did John tell us love does? It casts out fear. Love casts out fear when I love people who have needs with deeds. I'm going to pray that prayer. I'm going to pray Semper Fi, always faithful, never giving up and faithfully preaching mercy. I'm going to pray that prayer. I'm going to pick somebody out this year, and I am going to always pray without ceasing, these righteous resolutions for them. And you know what else you're going to add to that prayer? Lord God, my prayer for Brian Camp is he makes the most of his time. I'm singling out Brian. I needed someone to pick on. So, if you only had a few hours to live, what would you do with them? First, are we in agreement? That's a real possibility, right? Psalm 119 or Psalm 39 and 4, Lord, make me to know my end and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am. So when I ask the question, if you only had a few hours to live, what would you do with them? That verse says that's a real possibility. I mean, this could be the day. Yes, that the Lord has made, but it also might be the day you die. And if you only had a few hours left, what would you do with that time? I would like to introduce us as we wind down these thoughts to someone who only had a few hours left. Boy, did he redeem the time. He sure made up for a whole lot of lost time. I'd like to talk to you about the thief on the cross. You know, we usually talk about him because, well, he reminds us of the great mercy and grace of God that anyone can get saved with just a little time left. And I love that part of the story, but here's what I think we overlook. What he did with his time. He only had a few hours left. What did he do with those few hours he had? Well, the first thing we know is he wasn't like Felix. He didn't have this when I find the time. He knew, you know what he knew? Today is the day of salvation. And he got saved. Luke 23 and 43, Jesus said to him, this thief that I came to talk about, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Look, if the thief is in paradise, he's going to heaven. And listen, the only folk going to heaven are saved. Those who have heard the truth, repented, and believed the truth, he is saved. I wonder how many of you can remember years ago when I took us through the book of Acts. Do you remember what I said the book of Acts is all about? Saved to save. Saved to save. Made to make. See, Jesus saved you to go save someone else. You know what I would want to do if I only had a few hours left on this earth? I'd want to take someone to paradise with me. When my stepmother's father was dying, and he was at Hines Hospital in Maywood, one Christmas Eve evening, we got done celebrating, food, presents, everybody went home. It was about 11 o'clock at night. And I said, I'm going to go see Herman. He's all alone in the hospital on Christmas Eve night. Herman rejected the gospel till the very end. And then one night he got saved. And I came to learn, you know what he did with his remaining days? He told the nurses about Jesus Christ. See, that's what you do when you only got a few hours or a few days left. I want you to know that's making the most of your time. That's what this thief did. Look at the conversation he had and look at who he had it with. Luke 23, 39 and 40, one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other answered and rebuking him said, do you not even fear God since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? You see, this is one criminal talking to another criminal. This is one criminal on his way to heaven talking to another criminal on his way to hell. That's what this thief did with the rest of his time. He wanted to talk to him. You know who he wanted to talk to him about? The person in between them. So often it's missed what he says to this criminal. He says to him in Luke 23 and 41, he says, and we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. You see, Jesus is in between the two criminals. One criminal's going to heaven. The other criminal's going to hell. The one who's going to heaven wants to talk to the one who's going to hell. You know what he tells him? You and me, we deserve everything we're getting. Him? He's done nothing wrong. He's done nothing wrong. Now, that's part of the gospel message. You know what it's teaching, right? Man's sinfulness, Messiah's sinlessness. Man's sinfulness, Messiah's sinlessness. Right here, with just a few hours left, one criminal to another. Sometimes we say that telling somebody about Jesus is one beggar talking to another beggar. I like this one, one criminal to another criminal. You know what happens when you break the law, right? It doesn't make you a beggar. It makes you a criminal. When you break the law, that makes you a criminal. One time. Break the law one time, that makes you a criminal. If only you had a few hours left. What would you say? Notice what one criminal says. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Now, could you imagine what the other criminal is thinking when he hears the one on his way to heaven saying, remember me when you come into your kingdom? We know enough about the cross of Christ to know that there's nothing about Jesus on the cross that would have anyone thinking he's coming back. I mean, he's beaten beyond recognition. Beaten, bloodied, bruised. You have him coming? You know what this thief is saying, right? He's preaching the resurrection of Jesus even before Jesus took his last breath. And listen, he's not just preaching the resurrection, he's preaching his lordship, his kingdom. Remember me when you come into your what? Kingdom. He's not just coming back, but when he comes back, listen, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to be sovereign over the whole earth. Him? The one beaten, bruised, and bloodied up beyond recognition, you have him coming back? Are you beginning to see why this thief's going to heaven? You see what he believes? If you only had a few hours left, what would you do with your time? I might do this. I might start telling people, you're looking at a sinner who deserves condemnation. But I know somebody that could save us from condemnation. I know somebody that if you put your faith in him, when he lives, you're going to live. That's the sort of stuff I would want to be talking about with only a few hours left. The sort of stuff one criminal hears talking to another. I love what this one writer says about God's view of time, and I think it'll sum up everything we've learned this morning. Here's what he said. He said, yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today is the only cash you have. Spend it wisely. We can't do anything about lost time. And we can't do anything about tomorrow. The only thing we can do is something about today, because it's the only time we have. The question is, are we spending it wisely? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful for your word. We are grateful for the way it challenges us. Instructs us, teaches us, redirects us. The way it puts into perspective priority, what really matters most is not turning a profit. It's not about business. It's about your business. It's about saving the lost. It's about living right. Living right knowing we're on borrowed time. Living righteously knowing that we're transient, that our end is always near. And Father, my prayer is that as we grab a hold of that one person in our midst and dedicate 2018 to them, that we not tell anyone who that is, but that we wait a year. Because I know to pray a prayer that they be in church every Sunday morning. I know that a prayer that prays that they serve without fear, by loving that casts out fear, by serving those in need with deeds. I know that praying a prayer that they would be Semper Fi, always faithful, always preaching mercy. If we would pray a prayer that they would make the most of their time. I know, Father, that's a prayer that you can't wait to answer. And next week we're going to learn why prayers like this sometimes don't ever seem to come through. So Father, we know that this is a prayer you want to hear. And we know these are prayers that you want to see prevail. Next week, Father, when we come back, help us to understand why they fail. Thank you, Father, for your Son. Thank you for sending Him to rescue and redeem us. Thank you that we are saved by one act on the cross. And thank you, Father, for your mercy that in one act we can make up for a lot of lost time. If only we prevail. Father God, bless us as we leave this place. Watch over us. Protect us as we travel in our vehicles. And Lord, I think of the many, I think of Mrs. Wheatley. I ask, Lord, that you would comfort her, that you would give her strength, that whatever the doctors are doing for her, I pray, Father, that it will do precisely what they want it to do. I think of Jan, who takes care of her, Lord, that you would strengthen her and encourage her and help her to help her mom. I pray that we would rally around them and help them as they need help. I think of Annette, Lord, who wants to be here, but she can't because the doctors have told her to stay away for a month. I think of any in our midst, Lord, who are struggling on any level. I pray that you would help them, Lord. Help them physically. Help them financially. Help them spiritually. Lord, if there are people looking for work, I pray that you would help find them good work at a good pay. And then, Lord, I do pray for our worship. I do pray that when we come together on the first day of the week, that we come with hearts that want to express to you your worth to us, that you are worth everything, that there's no amount of money, there's no amount of things, there's no amount of pleasure that would ever replace knowing you, loving you, and being known by you and loved by you. Amen. Amen.